Well, it's a pleasure to bring Katie Wu in, of course, at Katie J. Wu on Twitter. Katie now covers the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic. She's worked for MILB, MLB, and all sorts of initials all over the place. She really knows her baseball, and we're glad to have Katie with us. Katie, how are you?
Marty, I'm great. So nice to be talking in the Bay Area. Feeling a little homesick, you know, but it's all things considered, it's been very great so far.
Of course, I don't want to leave out ASU. You're one of the ASU people we have here, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, yes. How could we forget?
No, Kerry doesn't. And we even had one of your compatriots on, Dom Catronio, as part of the show. So it's ASU day today, okay?
That's fine with me. I personally think every day should be ASU day.
Okay. All right. All right. So now you're covering the Cardinals. And, of course, they're in second place in the Central. But everybody loves the Cardinals when everyone has to make a pick in the Central. They always say the Cardinals. How are the Cardinals doing? Then we'll talk a little bit about specific players and things like that.
Sure. You know, I think the Cardinals are, just like you said, I think they're my pick to win the division by the slimmest of margins. The NL Central is very competitive, very balanced, full of a lot of underdogs. The Cincinnati Reds come to mind. You know, the Brewers have been playing very well. What remarks me about this division is that I don't think any team in it has really played up to its potential. You know, the Cardinals are two games over 500, but on paper, they should be much more. Their talent on paper rivals teams like the Dodgers and the Padres when you look at the top teams in the National League. So I think they've been a little bit underperforming, particularly offensively. You know, they had a lot of injuries early on. Their starting rotation took a little while to get ramped up. That's to be expected after a 60-game season, though, especially last year. You know, we forget sometimes that the Cardinals were one of the teams really decimated by COVID last year. So that really kind of threw a wrench in all of their pitching. I think May will be a telling month for what the Cardinals are and their holes in the team and what they need to fix to be the contenders in the division. But I thought April, all things considered, was a positive stretch just because, you know, they didn't play very well, but they're still two games above 500.
All right. Katie Wu is with us. She covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. Katie, you had an interesting week, though. The Phillies were in town. Joe Girardi got thrown out of a game. Bryce Harper got clipped in the jaw. And then the next batter got hit in the ribs, Gregorius, and then all hell broke loose again. What happened?
That's a great question, Marty. I keep asking myself the same thing. That series was, you know, it was four games. It felt more like a couple weeks. I think from teams that, and from a national perspective, when you look at what happened, it's easy to see Genesis Cabrera, the pitcher who did hit Harper in the face and did hit Gregorius. It was out of control, but for us that are covering the team every day and have seen Cabby and seen the changes he's made, he's been a really reliable option for the Cardinals all season long. He did have a reputation in 2019 on a kind of being a thrower instead of a pitcher, but he's done a really commendable job in flipping the script there. He's been one of their most reliable options all year from the bullpen. I mean, coming into Wednesday, he'd struck out a batter and at least one batter in the last seven of his appearances. So it was really alarming to see him have just a total lack of control. Obviously a super scary situation for Bryce, and thankfully he's okay in DD too. I understand why Girardi was so upset. But to me, what that game really simplified was the absolute failure of the three batter minimum rule, because at that point it was clear Cabrera did not have any control. He was a safety liability for the other team. It's a safety liability for himself. And, you know, the umpires can't eject him from the game unless they deem it to be intentional. And he's very clearly not intentionally hitting these guys. So everyone's kind of at a standstill on what could happen. I mean, Mike Schilt said on Wednesday after the incident, you know, I would have pulled Cabrera as soon as he hit Harper, no question, but he can't. So he had to, and it was clear up to Gregorius, you know, this was a guy that was clearly very rattled, but he had to stay in and pitch to McCutchen. McCutchen singled, got him out of the game, three batter minimum. But to me, it was a glaring oversight on implementing that rule and how dangerous it can be.
Wow. Mike Schilt is interesting. Old school baseball. He used that phrase this week, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see Girardi, too. There's a two old school managers. So I personally think, you know, the Phillies and the Cardinals don't play each other the rest of the year, but I think it's water under the bridge at this point. How the Phillies responded was plunking Arenado in the upper arm, bottom of the ninth, with two outs. You know, and Arenado, to his credit, took it like a man, walked to first, you know, was obviously not happy about it, but understood. It's an old-school baseball mentality. You can argue that, you know, you don't like players throwing at anybody. And sure, that's probably a good argument too. But for two old school managers like Girardi and Schiltz, that was kind of how we knew it was going to play out all along. So, and the umpires did their job and not policing the sport too much and kind of letting it play out. And, you know, now it's water under the bridge. Cabrera came out, threw six up, six down on Friday, his first appearance since the Bryce Harper incident. Looked great. All three pitches were fine. You know, got a couple of strikeouts too. So I think for the Cardinals' perspective, for Cabbie's perspective, you know, this was just a really horrible incident gone wrong, and now it's in the past and they can move forward from it.
Wow, what a story. Well, Katie Wu, right there covering the Cardinals in a national spotlight this week with the incident in St. Louis. Looking at some of the things that that I think about with the Cardinals, one, I think about Nolan Arenado. And, of course, we got our full dose of the Rockies here, and it's a different team without Arenado. But what has Arenado brought to the Cardinals, and is he living up to Nolan Arenado?
I think Nolan Arenado has done something every day where it's made everybody in the stands in the press box just kind of stare like, how did he do that? I think you can argue that his offensive production hasn't been what he expects. It's by no means bad. I think he would just expect a little bit better from himself. His defense has been tremendous. We all know that. That should come as no surprise. But he really seems like the perfect fit in St. Louis. Just the way he plays, no plays off, always hustles, always thinks that, you know, there's a chance to win. He's always competing. He is loved by his teammates. It is the perfect fit. And I know that Giants fans probably aren't looking forward to when him and Paul Goldschmidt, two notorious Giants killers, visit the Bay on the same team. But the camaraderie that Nolan Arenado brings to the Cardinals is unmatched. And I don't think there's a better place in baseball for him.
Boy, interesting having Arenado in St. Louis. The other one who's kind of under the radar, maybe Arenado gets a little bit of the notoriety, is Paul Goldschmidt. How is he doing?
Paul Goldschmidt has come to a slow start offensively, but you know that his trajectory of his career, he's always been that way. He's always been kind of a notorious slow starter. He was scratched from opening day, the home opener, with a sore back, and there's a little bit of concern that maybe that's kind of been hindering him, but he said on a call with the media earlier in the week, he feels fine. You know, he's just a slow starter. He's not overthinking things too much. And then that day, a couple innings later, he had a home run. So, you know, I think, like I said, May will be a very telling month for the Cardinals and who they are and what they need to work on. I think that's the same case for guys like Goldie too. If he's still putting up the same lack of production by the end of the month, then maybe there's a time to get concerned. But right now I'm not too worried about it.
All right, this is a year where they're hitting all over baseball. We're talking about 230 averages and things like that. So if you've got that good starting pitching, and we see it with the Giants all the time, we see it with the Dodgers, we see it with the Mets, the Cardinals have a decent starting rotation, and the big boy, Adam Wainwright, he's going to be 40, and he's been a very good part of it. He's on the COVID list, but I know he's coming back. But what about the starting rotation for the Cardinals?
Adam Wainwright is pitching like, you know, he's turning 30 instead of 40. It's been quite tremendous to watch. You know, I think their ace is still Jack Flaherty. That's one of the best pitchers, I think, in baseball. The Cardinals have yet to lose a game with him on the mound, and he's throwing again tonight against Pittsburgh. I think they have a very underrated rotation. Kwon Young Kim is in his sophomore year in MLB. He's 32. Not much is known about him. He's kind of a quiet assassin. He goes out there and carves up hitters and does a great job. Carlos Martinez, if he's their number three guy, and if he can be more consistent, I mean, he's, to his credit, improved every outing so far. But if he can establish himself when he last was a starter in 2018 and put up those numbers in 2021, I think they're going to be really good, especially when Miles Michaelis comes back. They're hoping by the end of the month, that would be a really solid 1-2-3-4. And then they have an option between Kim and John Gant, who's filled in admirably at the number five role. I think this is one of the most underrated starting rotations in baseball, and I think if I would have said that 2 weeks ago, everyone would have called for me to lose my job because they were not very good or performing up to expectations 2 weeks ago. But that's baseball, and that's how crazy it can change. So now that we're seeing the rotation perform up to its expectations without one of their top one or two guys in the rotation, I'm encouraged by it, and I think that you combine their rotation with their bullpen, which is one of the strongest assets of their game, that their pitching is solid through and through.
Well, I could see why they're favored. Well, it's Flaherty and Cahill tonight, and it should go the Cardinals' way, you would think. Cahill gives up 7 or 1. Just depends what the start is, and Flaherty's 4-0. So I think you're going to see a good one tonight.
I think so, too.
Well, last thing, Katie Wu, well, it's a pleasure to have you talking about the Cardinals. Now you have a real good idea of what's ahead. Yadier Molina on the IL, when will he be back?
I think they're going to, you know, given Yadi's age and the demanding nature of his position, they'll let Yadi decide when he comes back. It is when Yadier Molina comes up to Mike Schilt and says, hey, I don't feel like I can play, that's when it's kind of a red flag, because this is a guy that would probably try to play through anything. Mm-hmm. So he's in a boot, you know, they're confident, cautiously optimistic that he won't miss more than the expected time on the 10-day IL. But, you know, obviously there is no replacing Yadi, who was off to a crazy start. I mean, we talk about Wainwright and Yadi. What are those guys' aging routines? I need to know. we look at what Yadi is doing. There is obviously no replacing that. But Andrew Kisner, the backup, is probably a starting catcher on any other team. He doesn't see a lot of playing time, but that's not an indictment on who he is as a player. It's more of a testament to who he plays behind. But so far, in getting the chance to play every day, I thought Kisner stepped up really well and has caught some really good games, called some really good games. And his offense and his hustle, he's really fast for a catcher. That's something the Cardinals haven't had really with Yadi ever. So obviously, again, no replacing what Yadier Molina brings to the club and the clubhouse and the team camaraderie. But I think Kis has been doing a really great job in filling in and, you know, seeing his stock rise up too, because he really could be a starting catcher in almost any other organization.
Well, Katie, great report. We love following you on The Athletic, and you gave a good report on the Cardinals here, and we'll see him at some point. So be well, and we'll catch up with you again. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty. Always a pleasure.
Oh, that's great. That's Katie Wu. All right. Next coming up is Kerry Crowley as he goes up to the booth to talk a little baseball. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.